All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. Our next guest is Walter Jones. He's the U.S. representative for North Carolina's 3rd Congressional District since 1995 and is a member of the Republican Party. He serves on the Armed Services Committee and the Financial Services Committee. He's also part of Ron Paul's Liberty Caucus in the House of Representatives. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Scott, I'm doing well. Thank you for the opportunity, and I really hope that your listeners will join us in trying to get our kids out of Afghanistan.
Well, this morning before the show, I was watching, well, I'm still kind of watching C-SPAN here, but I had a chance to listen to before the show started, and I caught a bit of your speech about why you co-sponsored Dennis Kucinich's bill, which is under debate this morning. About getting the troops out immediately. In fact, I'm rewinding my DVR and queuing up a little bit of your talk right here. In fact, so I guess you had a few major points in that speech that you cited as to why it was that you're so determined to see Dennis Kucinich's legislation through and to really make a difference in ending this war.
Let me share with you, as the debate, Dennis Kucinich is a friend. He gave me 30 minutes of his 1 hour, so I really did appreciate it. And I had speakers to come up, Republicans that agree with us, one being Jason Chavez, from Utah, Ron Paul, Dana Rohrabacher, and Jimmy Duncan. And I know there are others that will vote with us that just couldn't get to the floor. The whole thing is, when, you know, what really bothered me, Scott, is that I attended the hearing yesterday with General Petraeus, and I 3 weeks ago heard Secretary Gates, and I have great respect for both of them, make it clear, but they now are talking about a substantial reduction in the troop size in Afghanistan beginning in 2014. We're in 2011 right now, March of 2011, and that's 3 more years. How many kids have to be killed and lose their legs for a corrupt government? Karzai doesn't even have any appreciation for what we're doing for him over there. All he wants is the money from the American taxpayer.
Well, and, you know, we were talking with Robert Naiman earlier, and he had a quote from the head of the DIA, who apparently testified last week. I'm not sure if it was in front of your committee, but he was saying that, yeah, the violence is up, but, you know, the idea that that means we're making progress just is not the case. The number of resistance fighters has not diminished. The more we kill, apparently, the more there are, Congressman.
Yeah. Well, Scott, that's true. And, you know, several members who have served in the military, some in Iraq and Afghanistan, and God bless them, you know, came to the floor and said, well, we've been there. Most of you have not served, that type thing. So as I concluded, I made mention, I think I've said this on your show before. I can't say his name because I don't have permission, but a Marine general that is well-respected, he's now retired, let me make that clear to your listeners, he has been advising me for the last 14 months. And I actually read a couple of his emails to me, and I made the statement as we were getting to close the debate that I have not served, but I want to say thank you to the members in Congress who have served this nation and to those overseas who are serving. But for those of us that did not serve, like I have done, I reached out to a general who is now retired for advice. And his advice is, you know, you can't win. It's a corrupt government. And what have you won if they say you did win? Are we going to build the streets in Afghanistan, build their schools when we're closing our schools and can't fix our roads? Where does it make any sense? And then you factor in the most important thing, we're sending our young kids to die and lose their legs.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's been your most compelling argument, I think. It's one that I would think that all Americans, no matter their politics, would agree with the premise that, you know, the people, especially, you know, young people right out of high school joining up the military, they're basically deferring, especially, sir, to you, but really to all of us, that, you know, we, the people in control of our democracy and what have you, will only do the right thing and risk their lives and have them kill people. When it's absolutely necessary, that we won't just throw their lives away on some sand pit on the other side of the world for nothing. And it seems to me like everybody, even Petraeus, recognizes that they can't have a clear-cut victory here, that he'll have to negotiate his way out of there. I'm not sure if he reiterated that to y'all the other day, but he's said so numerous times in the past. And so what are we doing?
You're right.
It's a betrayal.
Scott, the whole issue is, has been said to me by many in the military, both active duty and retirees, if you don't have an endpoint to your war strategy, you have no strategy. So all we're doing is digging a hole deeper and deeper in Afghanistan, and that means more blood and more treasure. And we don't see an end to digging the hole. I mean, I'm like you. I mean, for goodness sakes, I know I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but, you know, for goodness sakes, some things just are common sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's obvious that there are, ideologues who support empire for its own purposes. And there are, you know, certain interests, you know, like, say, Lockheed or whatever, who, lean at least as best they can toward particular policies. Have whatever degrees of influence. But, you know, I wonder whether your fellow members of Congress actually really just believe all this hype, these paper-thin slogans about supporting the troops, when really what they're talking about is risking their lives for nothing.
Well, you're right. Scott, the only way I can answer that, I obviously have friendships in both parties, and I treasure those friendships, but too many times, I think, it's just like Mr. Obama. I don't know why he continues to accept the recommendations to stay in Afghanistan until 2014. And I would be willing to bet, I hope I'm still here then, but I would be willing to bet that 2014 is not the end time. It's going to be 15 or 16. So I can't speak, but the only thing I can tell you that I do think this vote, well, we're going to have many votes this year on Afghanistan, well, at least several. Let me say several. I'm hopeful that the people that listen to your show have been calling their members of Congress. And let me explain that for this reason. I think there are at least out of the new class of 84 new freshman Republicans, there've got to be at least 15 to 25 that have basically feel that we need to get out. And I have the names of 11 of them who campaigned and said we need to get out of Afghanistan. So it's my hope, I don't know how they're going to vote, but it's my hope that we'll get most of those 11. So if we can get 20 to 25 Republicans today to vote to get out of Afghanistan, that is a major step for the Republicans in the House, which we've not had before.
Right, and you said you expect more Republicans than just the co-sponsors to sign on to this one, but do you expect more numbers than last time on this particular vote?
I do. I think I would be very surprised, because this is not a money issue. What Congressman Kucinich has put in is just simply a bill that says if the president does not start bringing our troops home in July of 2011, then he must start bringing them home in December of 2011. So it's not a money issue. This is a policy issue, and it's my hope that we'll get a pretty good vote. I cannot gauge it. This is one of those votes. It's going to be the person votes their heart. I hope they will vote their heart. How they feel about not having an end to the war in Afghanistan.
I wonder what you think about Saudi efforts to back up the kingdom in Bahrain. The Obama government apparently is at least compliant with this. Apparently Bahrain's Gaddafi is just fine in putting down their uprisings, and even with Saudi help. Do you have a position on this kind of thing?
I don't really have a position, but you and I both know it, and your listeners certainly know. It's all about energy. It's about oil. It's about the relationships with countries that provide us. That's why we need to be independent and have alternatives to our needs for energy. But that's another debate at another time, and I'm not sure I'm an expert on that anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, in general, do you support the withdrawal of America from the Middle East and place your bets on buying the oil on the market instead of securing it with all those ships?
Listen, I am for closing military bases around the world, unless it's in the national security of our country.
Uh-oh, well, you know how a president is going to take language like that. I think that's how we got right here. But all right, so hang right there. It's Walter Jones from North Carolina's 3rd Congressional District, Republican in the House of Representatives, sits on the Armed Services Committee, and we'll be right back. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton. We're talking with Walter Jones, Congressman representing North Carolina's 3rd Congressional District, a Republican district, and he serves on the Armed Services Committee. He's a co-sponsor of Dennis Kucinich's bill right now to force withdrawal from Afghanistan, And I wonder exactly how this works. It's under the War Powers Act, right? Not the power of the purse, Congressman?
Right. No, this was strictly under the War Powers provision in the public law. And I think that's a good way to start this debate about Afghanistan, because I've been saying, Scott, ever since we went into Iraq and Afghanistan, that the Congress that needs to meet its constitutional responsibility, and that is to allow a declaration of war, which we don't do anymore. It is a resolution that we give the president the authority. And so I think this was a very important debate. Again, I want your listeners to know that we don't anticipate to win the vote, but we want to get a strong vote. If we get 120 or 130 members and get us about 15 Republicans, I'm going to say that's a moral victory.
Mm-hmm. And now, back to the last point before we went to the break there about when it is absolutely necessary for our national security to have a base in somebody else's country. How do you define that? Because it sounds like you define it certainly down from where we are now.
Yeah. Well, I personally, with our country in financial trouble, and that is truly, we are in financial trouble, and we've got bases in places like Germany and other countries that we're paying them the rent to have the bases in that country. And I would say that where we have a true national security concern or interest, then I'm for keeping the bases there. But as my dear friend Ron Paul says, China is the superpower of the world right now. How many bases do they have around the world? How many troops do they have in foreign countries? And, you know, he always smiles and says, none. And that's money that we're talking about. And we're spending roughly $2 billion a week in Afghanistan. It's money we don't have. It's borrowed money that we could be spending here to help our children and our senior citizens. But no, we're spending it overseas, and it's borrowed money.
Well, do you think that, well, for example, the Sunday morning talk show people would say, well, but we have to lead the world. I mean, come on. What are you going to do, withdraw from the world, not lead it?
No, I think you can't. I think it is a fallacy.
And I didn't mean ministers. I meant the talk show people.
No, I think it's a fallacy for anyone to say that we need to lead the world. I don't know of any great nation, my limited knowledge of history, any great nation that led the world when they had to borrow money from other governments to pay their bills. You are not a world leader. If you think you are, you're a joke. Not you personally, Scott, but anyone that feels that, because you can't be. You cannot be macho man when you can't pay your own bills.
Mm-hmm.
And so my thinking is, quite frankly, I'm not an isolationist, but going back to a point you did make, I want to speak to very quickly, that if we get attacked by a terrorist, for those listeners that might say, well, what in the world would you do? You know, this Marine general that I can't say his name, I mentioned earlier, you know what he said to me? He said, what you do, you send bombs, you send drones, and you send killer squads to that country, and you take out those who attack you. You don't send 100,000 troops over there. Mm-hmm. We got to get smart. Yes, we've got a war on terrorism, and we need to fight the war on terrorism, but we need to be smart as to how we fight it and not start a war and be there 10 years later. And I'm concerned about that. As I mentioned in the beginning of this show, Secretary Gates and General Petraeus have said clearly that we will have a full regiment of troops in Afghanistan until at least 2014. That's why your listeners need to get engaged and help us bring them home.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, these points are very interrelated too. Even the National Intelligence Estimate, I guess back in 2006, said the occupations are causing terrorism against us. And so it seems like, you know, with the financial reasons going on, the revolutions across the Arab world right now in North Africa and the Middle East, with the ongoing disaster in Afghanistan, seems like we could just, grant independence and just let these countries go.
I couldn't agree more. I don't think, you know, what limited knowledge of history I have, it seems like great nations, when they start trying to expand their influence and their holdings outside of their own country, history proves you make a mistake, because what you're going to do is the largesse of that country is going to be it's going to be zero.
Now, Congressman, part of your speech this morning on the House floor was about a soldier, a veteran, I think you said, who'd been to Afghanistan and Iraq, who committed suicide and left his family behind. And I was just thinking, since so much of the pro-war kind of spin is that supporting the troops is supporting the policy, and that opposing the policy is in fact somehow betraying the troops. That you could speak a little bit to the consequences for individual soldiers who are going to fight these wars and occupy these countries, and you know, and hopefully a little bit about what you're doing about it to try to help them.
Well, Scott, I actually held up three posters very quickly. The one is the face of a little kid named Tyler Jordan at 6 years of age. His daddy was killed in Iraq. He's holding a folded flag under his under his arm, and he's holding the hand of a soldier who's got his hand and his daddy. This young man represents all the children whose moms and dads have died and will die in the future. The second poster was a flag-draped coffin being carried by the Air Force Honor Guard at Dover. That represents all the families who have lost but will lose in the future, as long as we're in Afghanistan, loved ones. The third is what you were talking about. It's a beautiful picture of a handsome young Marine. Of course, he's in civilian dress, named Tom Bogosi, and his beautiful wife, Katie, and their little boy. And Tom committed suicide a year ago, and I mentioned this on the floor. He was so worn out from deploying that he had PTSD, and he pulled his car off on the side of the road right on base at the main drag at Camp Lejeune is called McHugh Boulevard. He pulls his car over. He steps out and puts a gun to his head and kills himself. And you look at that beautiful family. How many more Tom Bogosis are going to commit suicide before we get out of Afghanistan? They're the questions I asked today on the floor, and many other members did too, but that was what I said in showing those three posters.
Mm. Well, and that's something that I think is a lot of out of sight, out of mind for most Americans.
Right. Absolutely.
Because you either live in a base town or you don't, basically, and if you don't, then you know, I think a lot of people forget there's even a war going on these days.
That's why I was so willing to do your show, and I want to thank you and your station for doing this, because the American people need to get engaged. I don't mind telling you, I know our time's getting short, but I don't mind telling you, everyone that comes to my office, before they finish, they might be talking about recreation programs, they might talk about health programs, they might talk about dental programs, but I will say to them, I've listened to you, I'm going to try to help you. Will you do me one favor? And it's not personal. Will you do our military a favor? Call your member of Congress, call your senator, and tell them whenever they get a chance to vote on an Afghan issue to bring our troops home, to vote to bring them home. We've got to get the American people engaged in this thing.
Well, and, you know, the polls say that now two-thirds of the American people say it never was worth it, and three-quarters, a super-duper majority, I think they call that, is for ending the war by the end of the year. So I don't know if there's really the oomph behind it, the passion behind it. It's not the top issue, but it sure seems like it's ready-made to be one. I sure hope that you guys can keep up the fight in the Congress and you know, keep it on the TV news if that's the only way to get it there.
Well, we will, and very quickly, during the debate, Dennis Kucinich yielded a minute to Charlie Rangel. Charlie Rangel announced today on the floor that he's going to reintroduce his bill to initiate the draft in this country. If we had the draft, you wouldn't even be calling me, because there wouldn't be an issue of Afghanistan. We would have been out 5 or 6 years ago.
Well, maybe, but then again, that would be an endless supply of troops for the Pentagon to be able to use.
Yeah, I mean, but the difference is the American people would get engaged, and you were right when you said they're not engaged right now.
Yeah. Well, no, I definitely agree with that. I'm just not sure it's worth it. You know, not that I think it's, you know, that it doesn't matter about what happens to the Afghans and the American soldiers over there instead, but... you know, I was raised actually to believe that it was the draft that ended the Vietnam War, but if you look at the timeline, it really took 8 years or something after they changed the rules to include even college boys and stuff, right? I mean, after 8 years, finally they were able to end it.
That's true, but just think, if we'd had a volunteer service as we do now, they might still be fighting in Vietnam.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true too.
I'm with you. I'm really not for the draft. I don't like the idea of the draft, but if we can't, how do we get the people engaged? How do we get the people to understand that even though your son or daughter is not in Afghanistan, why not care about the other person's son or daughter?
Well, I'm afraid Ron Paul's right that it's going to take until the dollar breaks.
But, well, that might happen too, sadly.
Yeah, well, at least history will record that some of us were trying to stop it before it was too late.
Right.
Thank you very much for your
time.
I appreciate it, Congressman.
And God bless you and our men and women in uniform. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. That's Congressman Walter Jones, Republican from North Carolina's 3rd Congressional District. That's it for Anti-War Radio today. See you all tomorrow. Thanks for listening.